You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's what you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ready? Are you ready? It's time to laugh, to win, and to live the thrill of the action.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. What the
what's going on, but I am excited.
Every pick, every play, every game-changing moment.
Unbelievable!
This is You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome to another edition of You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM, right here on the BetMGM Network. I'm Femi Ebebefe, hanging out with you guys over the next 4 hours, where you can find us across a multitude of platforms. Make sure to watch this live 24/7 on the BetMGM Network and directly on the free Odyssey app. You can also check us out on Twitch at BetMGM Network and on YouTube at the BetMGM Network. You can watch us on Roku, Fubo TV, Samsung TV Plus, and more. And if you'd like to listen to us, make sure to head on over to Sirius Channel 160 or Sirius XM 205. And throughout these 4 hours, make sure you hit us up on social media. You can find me on Twitter, at Femi Ebebefe. You can find me on Instagram, at Femi underscore Ebebefe. Check out the show on Twitter, at You Better You Bet, and the entire network, at BetMGM Network, over on Twitter. If you like our show, you like Bet Sweats, BetMGM Tonight, Daily Tip, all the shows that we have across the network, weekdays and weekends, at BetMGM Network is where you can find the wagertainment. We got the whole crew hanging with us here on this Tuesday. We have Tyler Morales, Jay Kassan, Bill Zimmerman, Mike Brown, Sean Haw, Addy Bates, Nick Kostos. He joins us at the top of the hour with his thoughts on last night's Monday Night Football game that saw the Philadelphia Eagles outlast the Green Bay Packers 10-7. Now, it wasn't your typical 10-7 game, because then you would see that on paper. And it's like, oh, 10-7 must have been the worst game imaginable. No, that was last Thursday night with the Raiders and the Broncos. This, it was compelling. When you're dealing with a couple contending teams, this was a compelling game, and I was entertained all throughout. So Nick will talk about his thoughts on Monday Night Football to begin the 4 o'clock hour. I'll give you my thoughts here shortly. But first, if you miss anything across these 4 hours, make sure you check us out in podcast form. Just search You Better You Bet wherever you get your podcasts. And while you're there, I mean, we're putting the content on there for you to consume in on-demand fashion. The least you can do is to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. We have three awesome guests that will be joining us throughout these 4 hours, starting at 5 o'clock Eastern. Odyssey NFL insider, three-time Super Bowl champion, color commentator for the NFL on Fox, Mark Schlereth, will join us for his weekly Tuesday spot as we'll get a recap of what Stink saw during Week 10 in the NFL and spinning it forward to Week 11. At 6 o'clock Eastern, to begin the Power Hour, NBA writer for the Action Network, host of the Buckets podcast, our good friend Matt Moore joins us once again here on You Better You Bet. We'll talk all things NBA, including the Dallas Mavericks fire Nico. Nico Harrison fired this morning by the Dallas Mavericks, what it means for the Mavs going forward, and other pressing items after a wild night in the association. The football game might not have had the fireworks. The NBA, though, I was looking at the timeline, people talking about what was happening. Wemby, the Heat game, a lot of stuff that went on in the NBA. So we'll get Matt's thoughts on all of it coming up at 6 o'clock Eastern time. And then at 6:20 Eastern, betting analyst for the NBC Sports Bet, co-host of the Deep Dive podcast, the Whale Capper, Drew Densick, will check in with us for his weekly spot as he gives us his best bets for Week 11 in the NFL, starting with Thursday night football between the New York Jets and the New England Patriots. But before we get into Monday night football, I just wanted to get to this breaking news that just came down just seconds ago from all of the insiders. Tyler Morales, he did a good job putting it into the chat. I'm seeing this right now on my phone, all the notifications. And this is a bummer. And this one sucks. And I honestly hate to give this news out there, but hey, it's the news that we have here in the National Football League. Sources, this is according to Ian Rappaport over at NFL Network. Jacksonville Jaguars two-way star Travis Hunter underwent season-ending knee surgery with his eyes set on the 2026 season. It will be an LCL repair for Travis Hunter, the Heisman Trophy winner from last year, second overall pick to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Had the knee injury, missed the game against the Las Vegas Raiders. We're all hoping that, hey, it's only going to be a month. Maybe we'll see Travis Hunter in December. No, looks like we're not going to see him until 2026. Once again, Travis Hunter undergoing season-ending knee surgery. That is a big time bummer because he's a player that we all want to see him play. We all want to see him try to do the unthinkable. And it looked like he wasn't going to be able to do it. They were trying to transitioning him towards more so being a wide receiver than a cornerback. But I mean, it's a guy that we're all excited about, super talented, and was supposed to make the Jacksonville Jaguars fun. But unfortunately, this is the news that we get here on this Tuesday, is no Travis Hunter for the rest of the 2025 season. We'll, of course, talk about this all throughout the body of the show here on You Better You Bet. But just reacting to this in real time, Jacksonville is a team that I've never really been a fan of in terms of them being like a high upside team or even being a playoff team for that matter. They're incredibly flawed, as we've seen. And we just saw last Sunday. I mean, they just blew a lead where they got outscored 26-0 in the fourth quarter by Davis Mills and the Houston Texans. So this is not a team that we all thought had high expectations, but they could have been kind of frisky, especially in the underdog role. But with no Hunter and Brian Thomas Jr. dealing with his injury issues and already the issues that he has with the drops and everything, I think this Jacksonville Jaguars season is on the downward spiral. This team is not going to be contending in the month of December. And I think that this news is just a downturn and a little bit of a bummer that we get here on this Tuesday. No Travis Hunter for the rest of the 2025 season. Hopefully he heals up. All is good to go. And let's just focus on playing him at wide receiver. Like, I think he's a better corner. They seem to think he's a better wide receiver. Whatever it is, let's just play him at one position. And let's see what he can be. If he can truly be the Justin Jefferson that we all thought, then yeah, maybe we could do that whole deal. But I hope that they can kind of get a form, an actual plan for Travis Hunter in 2026, as opposed to kind of what we saw here in 2025 when he was indeed healthy. So we have that news. Just want to share that as that just came down moments ago from all the NFL insiders. Travis Hunter out for the remainder of the 2025 season, undergoing knee surgery with the hopes of being all good in 2026. All right, let's get to what we saw last night in the National Football League. Monday Night Football, Eagles-Packers, a banger football game. On paper, we all thought we were going to see a banger football game. Did we see a banger? No, but we did see a very compelling football game as the Philadelphia Eagles get the win 10-7 over the Green Bay Packers. I like Green Bay. I bet them at pick 'em price. I was the loser last night, but I think the biggest thing that stuck out to me was the last 3 minutes of the game. Like, we're going to get into the Eagles and the Packers, what this might mean going forward, but the final 3 minutes of the game honestly might deserve its own segment in itself, because I've never seen the Keystone Cops before, but I'm imagining that final 3 minutes last night is what it looked like. I don't know what the hell these two teams are doing in the final 3 minutes of the game. The Eagles' four-minute offense, which should be like the best four-minute offense in the league when you take a look at the talent that they have on the offensive line at running back and Saquon Barkley. Like, okay, you're in a really good spot. Up 10-7, four-minute offense. Let's put the game on ice. Well, how about this? Let's go through all of it because there's a lot to unpack here. 2:38 left in the game. First and 10 on the Green Bay Packers 45-yard line. You know, run the football. Makes a lot of sense. Make Green Bay use their first timeout. We're on track here. We're going to try to make them use their timeouts and put the game away. Second and 8, Packers 43. Incomplete pass. What? All right. We just gave them a free timeout. Okay. What are we doing? Third and 8. Incomplete pass. Just let the gave the Packers 2 free timeouts. And now you got to punt the ball back to Green Bay with 2 timeouts and 2:25 left to play, only down by 3. I mean, like, that's just a horrendous way to manage a football game in my mind. But we're just getting started. Packers, they get the football, you know, driving the ball near midfield after being backed up on their own 10-yard line, down by 3, 1:51 left of the game. We're now on the other side of the 2-minute warning. Third and 10, Jordan Love, hey, he's going to hit Luke Musgrave for a 9-yard gain. That sets up 4th and 1. Big time play in the game. Might want to spend a little bit of time on it, right? Just to make sure that we're all going in the right direction. 4th and 1, own 44-yard line. Green Bay tries to go quickly to catch Philadelphia off guard, except for the fact that the Eagles are calling out the play. They're saying, hey, inside zone that way, inside zone that way. We've all seen the video now across social media. They're literally calling out the play. Great stuff from the Packers coaching staff, right? Great stuff from Jordan Love, who just says, yeah, let's just run the ball right into the teeth of the Eagles defense. Man, I'm not going to check out of this. No Omaha, no audible, nothing like that. We're just going to run it and see how this goes, even though they're calling out our exact play. So, of course, the Eagles get the stop. Game should be over, right? Right? The Eagles got the stop. It should be done. Well, with 1:26 left to go, should be 3 runs to get Green Bay to use the remaining 2 timeouts. And hopefully you pick up the first down to truly ice the game. But if you don't pick up the first down, it at least puts Green Bay up against it. So, of course, you know, the Packers know what's coming. They sell out for the run. They get the stop on 3rd and 7, but the clock is running. So we're now down to 33 seconds. 4th and 6 on the Packers' 35-yard line. What do you do? Well, first, let's just try to draw them off sides to potentially get into a 4th and 1 situation to where we can ice the game with the tush push. I mean, how fitting would that have been with the Green Bay Packers being the team that was leading the charge to get the tush push banned this past offseason? How fitting would that have been? You know, Green Bay doesn't jump offside, so all right, that didn't work. Surely, we're going to try to pooch punt. You know, pooch punt, because what matters most in this situation is field position. That's what matters. They have no timeouts. They have to go 60 yards or more to get into field goal range. Field position matters the absolute most. That's what's at a premium. There's no point kicking the field goal because that's too risky. You miss it, you're giving them the ball like on the 45-yard line, and you make it, you're only going up by 6. So let's punt the ball and pin them down deep, right? Well, that's not what Nick Sirianni opted to do. Nick Sirianni, in what, in my opinion, was one of the dumbest decisions in NFL history, he leaves the offense on the field and has Jalen Hurts throw a deep pass down the field to A.J. Brown, which, of course, incomplete. Packers football, 27 seconds left on the 35-yard line. What in the world is Sirianni thinking? I couldn't believe it. Troy Aikman, Joe Buck, they're going crazy in the broadcast booth. They're saying, what are they doing? Everyone on social media saying, what are they doing? I'm at home. I'm sure my wife thinks I'm a crazy person because I'm yelling at the TV now saying, what the hell is Sirianni doing? What are the Eagles trying to accomplish? It made no sense at all. I don't know what the hell he was thinking. Like, the Packers' only chance to try to tie the game was doing something stupid and giving them that opportunity. And the Eagles said, here you go. Just take the ball. We'll give you a free 35 yards and give you a chance to get into field goal range. Here you go. Now, luckily for the Philadelphia Eagles, you know, Jordan Love missed Christian Watson on a deep pass that would have put Green Bay well within field goal range, by the way. But he threw it a little bit downfield, should have been thrown more to the side. Watson probably catches it if it's onto the side, but it was incomplete. So then a few plays later, the Packers, of course, have to settle, quote unquote, for a Brandon McManus 64-yard field goal in the freezing cold at Lambeau Field. We all saw McManus take the practice kick, which, like, he probably should not have been able to do, but, like, he snuck one in there, and it went short, which should have been the blinking sign to Matt LaFleur, the head coach, saying, hey, this is not going to work, guys. Maybe let's go to the Hail Mary. No, let's put McManus back out there. Maybe with the adrenaline, he can really carry this thing home, which would have been the longest field goal at Lambeau Field history, by the way. Like nobody's ever hitting from 64, especially in those conditions. Shank is not even the word to describe the McManus kick. I thought it was blocked in real time. You see the replay? Wasn't blocked. just going to go whoop, veer off to this way, wide left, and wide left. Eagles win the game 10-7. Now, we can unpack everything that happened in the game, and we have to give the Eagles their credit. Like, you're a pick 'em on the road against the Green Bay Packers, and you win the game. And I don't know if they were ever, like, in control of the game, like, where they were, like, dominating, because it didn't feel like anybody was really dominating. But you got to give them 100% credit for winning that football game. And we've been saying it all season, and I believe it's true. The Eagles have the highest upside of any team in the league with the talent that they have. Super Bowl MVP quarterback. Roster absolutely loaded. Defensively, they're awesome. I mean, did you see Jalen Phillips last night? I think that trade's going to work out. Did you see Nolan Smith? Welcome back. He was rushing the passer. But the problem I have with the Philadelphia Eagles is the coaching staff. And despite making the dumbest decision in NFL history, the Eagles' talent won the day. And for most teams, it doesn't work out that way. But for the Philadelphia Eagles, that's how it worked out. And hell, it worked out last year when they hoisted the Lombardi Trophy at the end of the season. I don't know what Nick Sirianni is thinking with some of these decisions. Kevin Petullo, the offensive coordinator, he seems clueless to me. I mean, they were talking about it on the broadcast last night. The Eagles have the highest percentage of three and outs in the league. The Eagles, not the Jets or the Browns or some other bum organization. The Philadelphia Eagles have the highest percentage of three and outs. An offense with Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, and a dominant O-line. And last night, we saw a dude calling run play after run play anytime they were in third and long. I don't know what the hell that coaching staff is doing. Sirianni and Petullo, they need to send a fruit basket to Vic Fangio because he seems to be the only competent coach that they have on that coaching staff, as that defense is awesome. But the Philadelphia Eagles, if they can't get this coaching staff in line and get these guys on the same page and get this philosophy intact, this is going to be a season that falls short of expectations. They should be your NFC representative. They should probably be your Super Bowl champion. But after what you saw last night and what you've seen over the first half of the season, do you really trust the Philadelphia Eagles? I'm not necessarily there. We'll talk about the Packers on the other side, as well as all the top stories from throughout the world of sports next here on You Better You Bet.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Don't let the holidays derail your fitness. Stay on track with Hydro. 20 minutes rowing on a Hydro targets 86% of your muscles as Olympians guide you from incredible locations worldwide. Running can't compete. That's why 90% stick with Hydro a year later. GQ named the Hydro Arc the best rower of 2025. And every Hydro comes with free shipping, a 30-day trial, and warranty. Go to Hydro.com code FIT and save up to $600 on your next Hydro. Hydro.com code FIT.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Let's get back to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network.
Welcome back. This is You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetMGM Network. Femi Abebefe hanging out with you guys here on this Tuesday. 40 minutes from now, we'll be joined by Nick Kostos with his thoughts on last night's Monday night football win by the Philadelphia Eagles. They beat the Packers 10-7. As a lot of questions about the Green Bay Packers. And I'll get into a little bit of that here because we got a little delayed. We got the breaking news at the top of the show. Travis Hunter, the Jacksonville Jaguars, underwent knee surgery, season-ending knee surgery. So no football activities for the next 6 months for Hunter. We will not see him until 2026. Kind of a bummer there. If you missed a breakdown on that, check it out in the last segment. But I don't think there's really any like big time betting application because I never felt that the Jacksonville Jaguars were a team that was going to make the postseason. If you want to go out there and bet them to miss the playoffs, I mean, I guess I can look this up right now. Like, what's Jacksonville to miss the postseason? Because I did not think that they were going to get in, and we saw how they played last Sunday against Houston. So the win total is at 9.5. Yeah, I'd bet that under. I don't think Jacksonville is going to be sitting there at 9-8. Like, this is a bad team to miss the playoffs. The Jacksonville Jaguars. Plus 145. Yep, there you go. That's the betting application. Jacksonville to miss the playoffs. Plus 145. They're not going anywhere. This team sucks. I'm sorry. Duval, yeah, see you later. It's not happening. So Travis Hunter, unfortunately, done for the rest of the year. We'll see you in 2026. Before we bring on our executive producer, Bill Zimmerman, I wanted to share some thoughts on the Green Bay Packers. Talked a lot of Eagles in the last segment. And I know the tone of my Eagles breakdown was like, wow, the Eagles are so stupid. No, the Eagles are very talented. In fact, they're the most talented team in the league. The frustration sets in when you see their coach doing dumb stuff like he did last night. Let's go for it on 4th and 6. Like, come on. You can't even justify that decision. Like, literally, I texted our show chat. I said, that might be the dumbest decision I've ever seen in NFL history. But anyways, hell of a job by the Eagles to get the win. They had the highest upside. Will they fulfill those expectations? Well, the coaching staff might hold them back because I think Sirianni's clueless. And I don't know what the hell Kevin Petullo does, but it's not coordinating offense because that offense should be way better than what we've seen with the talent that they have on paper. But let's talk Packers. And let's talk about a guy that you want to talk about not living up to expectations. Let's talk about Green Bay's quarterback, Jordan Love. Jordan Love, buddy, we're watching you. We can see you, man. We got four. Maybe not everyone. I know the YouTube TV dispute's going on, but like for the majority of us, we see you, man. What's going on? I don't know what that guy was doing. Like, we say Green Bay is the Jekyll and Hyde team. I think we need to stop doing that. Because really, the Jekyll and Hyde part of the Green Bay Packers is the quarterback in Jordan Love. Like, that's the problem here. You don't know what kind of performance you're going to get. And we saw it in the game. Like, I thought the game last night was a microcosm. Because there was times in the second half where it's like, oh, man, what a throw. That's the Jordan Love that we all fall in love with. But in the first half, this dude, he seemed lost. And not only did he seem lost, the most glaring issue for me with Jordan Love is the mismanagement of football games. Here you are in a nothing-nothing game at the end of the first half, well within field goal range. Third down, the Eagles got you beat. Just take the sack, live for another play, and go out there and kick the field goal. Maybe McManus misses it. Who knows? He might shank it the other way. But at least give him an opportunity to take a 3-0 lead in a game where points were clearly at a premium. Oh, by the way, 3 points end up being the difference. Going to use that at the end of the half, right? He fumbles the football. Just like an inexcusable decision. I don't know what he was trying to accomplish there. Fumbles the ball. They end up going into the half. Nothing, nothing. And Green Bay, and what really frustrates me the most about somebody as someone who bet the Packers, they drove the ball into Eagles territory 5 times last night and only scored 7 points. There's the fumble by Jordan Love. There's miscommunications with he and the wide receivers. And yeah, like it's not all on Love. And you could put some of the blame on the receivers for dropping passes or for not getting open. There I know Tucker Kraft is out for the year. Jaden Reed's hurt. He's going to come back at some point. Like, I don't want to hear any of the excuses. There's enough talent on the Packers roster. And there's enough brains on that coaching staff that they should be able to figure this thing out with a $55 million quarterback. There's no excuse for the way that Jordan Love played last night. And the Eagles defense is awesome. I get it. But he's got to be better. His team is consistently losing games where the defense doesn't even give up 20 points. They lost to the Panthers, the Browns, and now the Philadelphia Eagles. They didn't give up 20 points in any of those games. And they lost. And you're a $55 million quarterback? Time you start acting like it, buddy. Like, what is that? It's so lacking. And I'd get it if he was a rookie or if he was J.J. McCarthy, one of these guys that doesn't have a lot of experience, Jordan Love has started multiple playoff games, multiple road playoff games. He's played way too much football to be making the mistakes that he is making. And his play, and with all the expectations on this team, dude, if you're Matt LaFleur, I understand why that dude was looking angry last night and going crazy. Like Matt LaFleur was unhappy with how that game unfolded. He was looking stressed on the sidelines, looking at the tablet, not even watching the game when the defense is out there on the field. He's all the bad body language because he understands this team needs to take another step forward. There needs to be year-over-year improvement, especially with all the resources that they put in to building this roster. Like, this year started, here's two first-round picks, Dallas, we'll take Micah Parsons. You can't make that trade and have the season end with another wild card loss. That can't be what it is. There are Super Bowl expectations in Green Bay, and if this thing continues the way it is, I don't think they're going to come anywhere close to fulfilling those Super Bowl expectations. And the way that Matt LaFleur is calling the plays, you can see it all last night with the amount of times he's running the football, he's calling the plays like a coach that doesn't trust his quarterback. And frankly, if I was Matt LaFleur and it was my job on the line, I don't know if I'd be trusting Jordan Love either with some of the decisions that he's made over the first half of the season. So we'll see what happens with Green Bay, but boy, it was not a good showing for Jordan Love. And the Packers, once again, a lot of mistakes, and now here they are sitting as the seventh seed in the NFC when they were supposed to be a potential one seed at the start of the year. All right, let's bring in our executive producer, Bill Zimmerman, who I'm assuming enjoyed last night's game as a Packer, or as a Bears fan, rather, seeing the Green Bay Packers lose once again. Bill, how was your Monday Night Football viewing experience? And what'd you think of Philly's decision on 4th and 6 to go out there and say, YOLO, let's see what happens, and give the Packers a little bit of extra life?
It made absolutely no sense, Femi. And it's one of those things as a Bears fan, in the moment you're going, what is that? Like, that's it. Now the Packers are going to win. This was completely idiotic. But it worked out in the end. And let me tell you, as a Bears fan, I hurt for Packers fans. My heart goes out to you. And I apologize that in the current NFC playoff picture, you're behind Chicago. It's got to be tough. Got to be a tough one to swallow.
Hey, they're eating your dust, man. That's how it's going right now. The Chicago Bears are ahead of the Green Bay Packers. Who'd have thunk it? We do have some Packers-Bears games coming up over the next month or so. Those will be a lot of fun to see how they duke it out in the NFC North and NFC playoff picture. But let's go ahead and get to the top stories that we have here on this Tuesday. Bill, what's the number one thing we need to know?
Yeah, you got it. I mean, I'm not saying it's going to remain that way, but it's that way right now. So let's start with some NBA in the headlines today, Femi, because it has finally happened, perhaps 9 months too late for a lot of Dallas Mavericks fans, but Nico Harrison is officially out as Dallas Mavericks general manager. Of course, that's been the cry from Mavericks fans since Luka Doncic was traded back in basically Super Bowl week of this season. The Dallas Mavericks obviously did not get off to the start they wanted to this season. They have been struggling. Meanwhile, Luka and the Lakers are flying high. That certainly does not help from a perspective point of view. With Nico out, Michael Finley and Matt Ricciardi, Femi, will be the co-interim GMs in Dallas.
Hey, Michael Finley. I was always wondering what he's been up to as a Dallas Maverick great. But yeah, this... it had to happen. We all knew that this was going to happen. Nico Harrison getting fired. I mean, the fan base was never going to, they're still not going to get over them trading Luka Doncic. This is one of those like irreparable harm kind of situations where like you can apologize as much as you want. And I know Patrick Dumont, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, is apologizing, saying, hey, like, yeah, we have to be better. And things were so great back in 2024 and all this stuff. And like, I get it. Everyone hates Nico Harrison in Dallas. But my whole thing with this Luka Doncic trade has been that Nico did not act alone. This is not Nico Harrison going rogue and saying, see you later, Luka. That's not happening. And that's the part of this whole thing that I think people are missing. Because Nico, he's taking the bullets. He's the scapegoat. Because it's all Nico. Nico just woke up one morning and said, you know what? I'm going to trade Luka Doncic. That's what happened, right? Hell no. That's not what happened. This happened because the Mavericks have a cheap-ass ownership group. That's how this happened. And you know, I don't know why they're cheap? Because I'm sure they looked at it saying, hey, look at how much money we're going to have to give Luka Doncic on extension. A supermax of $345 million guaranteed. Is that something that we want to do? Not necessarily. Nico, go figure this out. That's how I think this actually all went down. Like, or maybe, I mean, I guess you can say that Nico went to them and said, let's trade Luka because the financials. But bottom line, ownership signed off on this. Because if ownership didn't sign off on this, Nico would have been fired the minute the Shams tweet hit the week before the Super Bowl. There's no way you keep your job going rogue doing that. Ownership was behind it. And if you're a Dallas Mavericks fan out there with the fire, Nico, great. I bet you feel good today, don't you? But then when you wake up tomorrow, guess who still owns the team? Patrick Dumont and that ownership group. Like, that's the biggest issue here for the Dallas Mavericks. It's not just Nico Harrison. This ownership group, like, if Mark Cuban was the owner, Luka Doncic is never getting traded if Mark Cuban's the owner, because he knows how valuable that Luka Doncic was to the Dallas Mavericks. That's not happening. And I just don't subscribe to this theory that Nico's just like some idiot who just woke up and decided to do this. Because also, as we want to rewrite history, because now Nico, his lasting legacy is going to be this trade, which is a horrendous trade. Don't get it twisted. The trade sucks for the Dallas Mavericks. And the Lakers, you make that trade 100 times out of 100. But this is also the same Nico Harrison that traded for Daniel Gafford and traded for PJ Washington in the season where the Dallas Mavericks made it to the NBA Finals. Like, Nico Harrison's not just some idiot. He actually knows what he's doing, but also had this galaxy brain decision to get Luka Doncic up out of there. But bottom line, it doesn't happen without ownership signing off. And if the ownership is still there and they don't sell the team, I don't see how Dallas Mavericks fans can think that this is ever going to get better, because this ownership group in about 2 short years has shown us they're incredibly incompetent and they're not what they used to be when they had Mark Cuban as the owner of the team. Bill, hit me with the next story.
I mean, the big news yesterday was that the New York Giants fired Brian Daboll. And of course, they are wasting no time trying to put together a head coaching search list. And according to Ian Rapoport, there's one thing you need to have on the list, and that is a tie to the New York Giants. He's got 3 potential candidates that are on the Giants' potential list. Chiefs defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo, who has spent time with the Giants. Former Raiders head coach Antonio Pierce, who was a linebacker on the Super Bowl 42 team that beat the Patriots. And Colts DC Lou Anarumo, who was on the 2018 staff under Pat Shurmur. So, Femi, there are 3 already on the list for the Giants' new head coach.
I mean, why don't they go call Jason Garrett again? He used to be the OC, right? He's got a nice studio job at NBC. Call Jason Garrett. He was a quarterback, OC of the team. Let's go ahead and do it. Like, call anybody who's had any association with the New York Giants. I couldn't believe this list. Now, Steve Spagnuolo, like, we all saw it as a head coach. Like, it's just not. It's not what you want. As a defensive coordinator, sign me up. He's a Hall of Famer, a legendary defensive coordinator. But unless you're trying to derail the Kansas City Chiefs dynasty, I don't know why you'd be looking to hire Steve Spagnuolo as your head coach. I don't even know why Spags would even want that job to begin with. And like, this is all speculation and names that are just being tossed around. But if you're Spags and you're his age, you really want to go and go back to New York to be the head coach and move your whole family just for 2 years of being the head coach? Is that what you want to do? Or would you rather like ride off into the sunset in Kansas City and win like 2 more Super Bowls? Like, you tell me what's the better option here. Antonio Pierce, like, get real. Come on. I'm in Vegas. I was here for the Antonio Pierce experience. He was in over his head. Not to say that he can't improve or whatever, but like, let's be for real. Like, he's not a good head coach. In fact, he's a terrible head coach. So like, let's be for real with that Antonio Pierce thing. Lou Anarumo? That I'd be intrigued by. We've never seen Lou Anarumo as a head coach. We know he's a pretty good defensive mind. And maybe if you pair him up with a good offensive coordinator and Jackson Dart appears to be a promising young quarterback, that I would at least be intrigued by. But the first 2 options, that to me feels like you're just trying to relive Super Bowl 42's past with Steve Spagnuolo and Antonio Pierce. Like, let's get for real. Now, there's some other spicy names, though, that have been brought up, and we don't know if they're ever going to get a call or anything like that, but would be intriguing given the fact that it's the New York Giants. Like, what's to stop them from calling Pittsburgh for Mike Tomlin? Mike Tomlin seems to be on the hot seat in Pittsburgh. Like, the locals in Pittsburgh want nothing to do with Mike Tomlin. They're done with that. Be a pretty good coaching upgrade if you're the Giants, right? I mean, we just got done talking about Matt LaFleur and the Packers. What if this whole thing goes off the rails for Green Bay and they don't make the playoffs? Or let's say they go 1-and-done and it's an embarrassing loss. Would they call Green Bay for Matt LaFleur? Like, there are some interesting options that are out there for the Giants. I'm just hoping these 3 names were just thrown out there as initial names and not actual names that we're going to be talking about when it comes time to picking the new head coach of Big Blue. Bill, hit me with the last one before we head to break here.
All right, Femi. Seahawks, Rams, a big one this week in LA as they're going to battle for first place in the NFC West. For Seattle, they're going to have to do it without their starting center, Jalen Sundel. He's been ruled out, not just for this week, but for multiple weeks with a knee injury. They expect him to be out about a month. So, Femi, we'll see how Seattle's offensive line handles it without their starting center.
Yeah, talk about bad timing, man. This is right ahead of this massive NFC West showdown. The betting market has reacted as such. This was 2.5. Now we're 3 everywhere. And I think that makes a lot of sense. I agree with that movement. We talked about this on the show yesterday during our NFL look ahead segment. Anything under a field goal was a bet on the Rams. Now that we're at a field goal, I think we're just right. Do we ever get to 3.5 and there ends up being value on Seattle? Maybe we'll have that conversation later on this week. But on the other side, we'll tackle the Heisman Trophy market heading into week 12 of the college football season.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Don't let the holidays derail your fitness. Stay on track with Hydro. 20 minutes rowing on a Hydro targets 86% of your muscles as Olympians guide you from incredible locations worldwide. Running can't compete. That's why 90% stick with Hydro a year later. GQ named the Hydro Arc the best rower of 2025. And every Hydro comes with free shipping, a 30-day trial, and warranty. Go to Hydro.com code FIT and save up to $600 on your next Hydro. Hydro.com code FIT.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Let's get back to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network.
Let's get back to it here on a Tuesday on You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetMGM Network. Femi and Bebefe hanging with you guys here this afternoon. 20 minutes from now, we'll be joined by Nick Kostos with his thoughts on last night's Eagles win over the Green Bay Packers, 10-7. Compelling football game. I'm not just saying that I'm trying to like sell the game. I don't work for the NFL. You know, like NFL games are awesome. I love it, but like I'm not paid by them to say that the game was good. But I did think it was actually entertaining, despite that there were only 17 points scored in the game. Like, it was not the same 10-7 as Raiders Broncos. Like, that was, I don't know what that was. I still want my money back from Roger Goodell for having to sit through 3.5 hours of that game. But last night I thought was at least somewhat interesting throughout, as points were at a premium, but we did see the team actually being able to move the football, which was not what we saw in Denver between the Raiders and the Broncos. We're going to get to the Heisman Trophy here quickly, but I did want to mention this story out of LSU, because this to me is just, put this in the column of why are we doing this? And Brian Kelly, the LSU head coach who was fired last month, apparently Brian Kelly is having to file a lawsuit against the LSU Board of Supervisors because Brian Kelly's attorney, this is me reading the article from Dan Wetzel over at ESPN. Kelly's attorney said that LSU has taken the position that it has not, quote, formally terminated Kelly as the LSU football coach. The school, according to the petition for a declaratory judgment, is now seeking to fire Kelly for, quote, cause, and potentially avoid paying a full buyout of nearly $54 million. The filing claims that LSU informed Kelly's representatives of this position on Monday. According to a copy of the suit obtained by ESPN, LSU's representatives had a call with Coach Kelly's representatives where LSU took the position that Coach Kelly had not been formally terminated and informed Coach Kelly's representatives for the very first time that LSU believed grounds for termination for cause existed. The 48-page lawsuit was filed in the 19th Judicial District for the parish of East Baton Rouge just hours after this call. According to the filing, Kelly's lawyers are seeking a, quote, declaratory judgment confirming that LSU's termination of Coach Kelly is without cause and that Coach Kelly is entitled to receive the full liquidated damages provided in his contract. It goes on to talk about more stuff there in the article. But, I mean, like, come on. LSU, what are you... I know we all don't like Brian Kelly, and it seems like he's like the worst person in college football or whatever, and everyone thinks he's so unpopular. But like, this is pretty ridiculous for LSU. You're trying to get out of the buyout now by saying like, oh, we actually haven't formally. Now we have. What's the cause? Tell us the cause. He didn't win football games. Like, that's not cause. Like, nobody's getting fired. Like, you can't say we fired him with a cause because he was bad at his job. Like, no, nobody's ever said that. You have to do some wild stuff to get fired with a cause or NCAA violations. And, you know, like, this to me, LSU is dead set on making their job as unattractive as possible. And I don't think they're going to succeed because I think once the dust settles, everyone realizes how much talent is down there and how good of a job it is. I mean, Ed Orgeron won a national title there, for God's sake. Like, I think other people are going to realize, okay, hey, that's a place where you can win. But, boy, do you want to get down to that chaos? What's going on with the governor and the board of supervisors? There's no president, and now they're trying to weasel their way out of paying Brian Kelly's buyout? Like, that doesn't look like an attractive job to me. It doesn't look like there's stability down there in Baton Rouge. I don't understand why they think that this is necessary, and I get it. Hey, paying $54 million, not a great deal. who wants to do that voluntarily? Nobody. But that's the deal that you signed. If you didn't want to pay him $54 million on a buyout, you shouldn't have signed him to the contract. You shouldn't have hired him. So now is not the time to say, we're going to fire you with cause. Come on. Like, be a grown-up. Be for real. Pay the man his $54 million and get on with your coaching search. Because this is just stupidity right now. And it makes you look bad. And it makes you look like you're a chaotic program, which is not what you want, where there's going to be a boatload of openings and a lot of coaches who are going to have their pickings come the end of the regular season. All right, I got that off my chest. That is LSU and their nonsense with Brian Kelly. Brian Kelly, go get your money, dog. If they don't care, at least Femi cares, all right? So go get your money. Let's talk about the Heisman Trophy. Because we have a favorite in Ohio State quarterback Julian Sain that I don't think should actually be the favorite. So over at BetMGM, Julian Sain is a plus 160 favorite. You have Fernando Mendoza at plus 175, the Indiana quarterback who had the Heisman moment to Omar Cooper against Penn State this past Saturday. Alabama QB Ty Simpson's plus 550. Texas A&M quarterback Marcel Reed plus 750. But before we get into the analysis, here's what the Athletic Heisman straw poll had to say earlier this morning. For the fifth consecutive week, the winner of the straw poll is Indiana quarterback Fernando Mendoza. And this week, he won it in a landslide. 21 of the first place votes went to Fernando Mendoza. That's up from 15 from last week as he once again won the poll. Sain has one first place vote. He came in second. Simpson came in third with also one first place vote. Jeremiah Love, the Notre Dame running back, is up to fourth with one first place vote. And Diego Pavia, the Vanderbilt quarterback, he has one first place vote, and he is at fifth. And then Ohio State's Jeremiah Smith and Georgia Tech's Haynes King round out the top seven. Those are the guys that all got first place votes in this poll. But Fernando Mendoza, far and away, winning this poll in a landslide after his Heisman moment down there in Happy Valley. So what are we to do with this information? Because according to the Heisman straw poll, this thing's not close. Now, I don't believe that's how it's going to play out at the end of the season, but it is pretty telling that Fernando Mendoza and the conversation coming out of that game is that that's the Heisman moment we've been waiting for. And as I've said over the last few weeks, probably even a month now with the Heisman Trophy, is the best story in college football is the Indiana Hoosiers, by far. Indiana's 10-0, the second-ranked team in the country. That's the best story in college football. And Fernando Mendoza, alongside Kurt Cignetti, is the face of that story. He is the quarterback, and he's the guy that had the game-winning drive in hostile environment out there in Happy Valley. So why is Julian Sayin the favorite? It's a great question. To be frank, I think it has a lot to do with liability. And I don't think Julian Sayin should be the favorite. But also, as we say with these awards and projecting forward, you have to project and bake in the fact that Julian Sayin's team is likely to run the table. And that's why the betting market is adamant that Sayin should be the favorite. So this weekend, they host UCLA, 31.5-point favorite, whatever, they're going to win against UCLA. That's an easy game. Then they're hosting Rutgers the next week, and then it's at Michigan. That's the tough game, the Michigan game. That's the game they haven't been able to win, is the Michigan game. And it's in Ann Arbor. Big noon kickoff. It'll be a massive game. A lot of people will be watching Michigan hosting Ohio State. If Sayin has a big game against Michigan, he'll still maintain favorite status. But the Big Ten title game, to me, feels like what's going to ultimately decide this award. And Sayin versus Mendoza, if Ohio State bludgeons Indiana and blows them out, I think that Sayin has a chance to win the award. Not that it's a slam dunk, because I'm not sure if everyone's like all the way there with Julian Sayin being the Heisman Trophy winner. Because what's the thing that everyone says about Ohio State? Well, anybody could play quarterback there. All you got to do is throw the ball to Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate. And look at this defense. And look how dominant they are. Like, it doesn't feel like any of those Ohio State guys are seen as like Heisman Trophy winner or story of the college football season. And that's the problem he runs into. So even though there's a good chance that he's 13-0 by the time the ballots are due, do people really feel great about Julian Sayin as the Heisman winner? I think people would feel great about Mendoza, even in a loss to Ohio State. And as long as it's not completely embarrassing to where it's like the vibes are terrible and like you don't really feel good about writing that name down, they lose like, I don't know, well, let's say they lose 31-21. Yeah, I think Fernando Mendoza wins the Heisman Trophy. Now, if they lose 48-10, then it gets dicey. And then maybe it opens up to a guy like Ty Simpson at Alabama or even some other guys. But I think the bottom line here is that there are certain guys that are a part of the story of the season, and there are certain guys who are not. Julian Sayin, I don't think he's there. He has a chance to get there, maybe with a big win over Michigan, big win over Indiana, but right now he's not there. And right now the story is Fernando Mendoza. But what happens if Mendoza stumbles before the Big Ten title game? Then what? Well, he better beat Ohio State, because if he doesn't do that, and they're a two-loss Indiana team, he ain't winning the Heisman Trophy. And then who would pick up the pieces? You could point to Ty Simpson as a guy, but even Ty Simpson, I'm not in love with him at price. I mean, he's plus 550 this week. Bama's hosting Oklahoma. Oklahoma defense is good. Brent Venables, I criticize him quite a bit, but if there's something that he can do, it is coach defense. That's not an easy game. And the total sitting at 45.5 for a reason, despite Alabama being a 6.5-point favorite. So let's say he just has like a mediocre game against Oklahoma. Then it's sight unseen hosting Eastern Illinois. Shout out to Tony Romo and Sean Payton. And then it's the Iron Bowl at Auburn, which like that game doesn't have as much juice. I know it's the Iron Bowl, but Auburn, I mean, it's fired coach and it's not that great of a team. SEC title game against Texas A&M. Could that be the game where it's Simpson versus Marcel Reed? I just don't know if I'm there with Simpson at price. Like, if you told me Simpson was 20-1, great, I'd take a stab. But at 5-1, given the fact that he's 13th in the country in QBR, I don't really see it's justified. Marcel Reed, he's plus 750. He's a stud on one of the best teams in the country. You notice how I didn't mention him when I talk about the Athletic straw poll. It's because he didn't get a single vote. Not a first place vote, not a second place vote, not even a third place vote. Fair or unfair, for some reason, he's not resonating. And he's plus 750. I think this is a prime example of the betting market just being just a little too stubborn to what people are actually saying. And to me, Marcel Reed, in a weird way, and it's not an apples to apples comparison, not a one-to-one, but to me, he feels like the guy that that is like the Michael Penix Jr. of the situation from 2023. Like, if you go back to that 2023 season, Bo Nix was in the driver's seat to win the Heisman Trophy, and had Oregon beat Washington in the Pac-12 title game, Bo Nix probably wins the Heisman, and it's not Jaden Daniels. And Jaden Daniels was chilling at home. What did he need to win the Heisman? He needed Michael Penix Jr. to beat Bo Nix for a second time. I think for some of these outside shots, like let's say if you're a Diego Pavia or a Haynes King or one of those kind of guys, you need Marcel Reed to play the spoiler in the SEC title game and beat Ty Simpson. And I wouldn't ever bet Pavia at 25-1 because one, he's on a bye week. But I think right now, Reed is a cross off. Simpson is close to being a cross off. And at the end of the day, like what I've been saying over the last few weeks, I think Fernando Mendoza is just the guy right now, and he should be the favorite. But for some reason at BetMGM, Ohio State's Julian Sain is. So if you had to bet it, I think plus 175 on Fernando Mendoza or putting him into a parlay is a way to bet the Heisman Trophy heading into week 12. On the other side, Nick will give us his thoughts on what we saw last night with the Eagles' win over the Green Bay Packers.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.